This audiobook is entitled The Fort Knox Gold Scandal and What It Means to You. The author is Dr. Peter David Beter, the internationally respected political economist and financial consultant, now famous as the man who opened Fort Knox in 1974. The present message was recorded March 1, 1975. It is a sequel to Dr. Beter's earlier audiobook, How to Protect Yourself During the Coming Depression and Third World War, which was recorded October 11, 1974. Dr. Beter's credentials include 10 years as a practicing attorney in the nation's capital from 1951 to 61, 6 years as counsel to the United States Export-Import Bank from 1961 to 67, to which he was appointed by President Kennedy, and 5 years as one of the chief developers of private international business in the Republic of Zaire in Africa from 1968 to 1973. Further details on his career are given in Who's Who in the East and in other biographical books, including the Blue Book of London, England. Dr. Beter is now involved in the work of the American Patriots Committee, which he founded with other concerned citizens on August 20, 1974. Dr. Beter welcomes inquiries and may be reached at the American Patriots Committee, 1629 K, the letter K Street, Northwest, Washington, D.C., 20006. Part 1, The Big Picture.
My friends, the overthrow of our great free republic, our beloved United States of America, is now far advanced and proceeding rapidly. The powerful family dynasty that now rules America behind the scenes is succeeding in its plan to bring upon us a horrendous new depression combined with runaway inflation and cruel shortages. By Election Day 1976, they plan to have Americans in a desperate situation, ready to grasp at any straw of hope. And while we are dazed and weakened, we will be invited to scrap our beloved Constitution, to accept their new one as the answer to all of our problems. If we fall into their scheming trap and accept their diabolical new Constitution, we will be forfeiting the freedoms we take for granted, consenting to our enslavement and that of our children. Oh no, you may say, we would never fall for such a thing. What a preposterous idea. It's too far out. Then I must warn you now that the dynasty has one great ally, which is indispensable to their efforts to take over America completely. I refer to that cherished belief, down deep within most Americans, that it couldn't happen here. So long as we cling to this comforting but groundless thought, we are incapable of the vigilance which is the price of liberty. We rationalize away strange and dangerous developments that take place before our very eyes. Instead of raising questions and demanding the truth from those who are supposed to be our public servants, we lull ourselves to sleep, telling ourselves, I guess what they're doing must be okay, even though I don't like it and I don't understand it. And so it is that our last elected president and vice president have been forced to flee from their respective offices to be replaced by an appointed president and an appointed vice president before our very own eyes. We have been deliberately robbed of our franchise. And dare we still say it couldn't happen here? My first audiobook recording, made in October 1974, alerts you to the existence of the powerful family dynasty in America and explains how they have connived for over a century to gradually seize control of America. That message also outlines their game plan for the next several years and offers concrete suggestions on how to protect yourself. The dynasty's plans are still as I described them in my message of October 1974. But there have been important new developments. I want to make you, the American public, aware of some very significant events which have occurred over the past several months, matters about which you have been kept in the dark by the major news media controlled by the dynasty. I especially want to point out to you that there is still hope if the American people wake up in time. Some of the events lately have not been according to the dynasty's plans. As I say these words, the dynasty is scuffling to keep its balance. They are now using all the powers at their command to keep the lid on a huge scandal, a scandal bigger than the Teapot Dome, in which the dynasty was involved, a scandal bigger than Watergate, which the dynasty brought about, a scandal so big it could stop the dynasty in their tracks if the American people find out what they have done. I refer to the Fort Knox gold scandal, the theft of America's gold supply, and the destruction of our dollar by the dynasty through their agents within our government.
Part 2.
My friends, in late December 1974, the great gold robbery was nominated by William Sapphire of the New York Times as one of the four candidates for the biggest news story of 1975. And no wonder. For one thing, making off with America's gold supply will doubtless go down in the annals of crime as the biggest theft in all of history, around $50 billion at the current market price of gold. For another thing, the alleged burglars are none other than the kingpins of America's most powerful family, people whose names would top any social register, and who are associated in the public mind with good manners and philanthropic activities. But most of all, this astronomical case of embezzlement will, unless it is corrected soon, leave America utterly defenseless against the chill wind of monetary instability that is sweeping the entire world. And herein lies the danger for the dynasty. They have made mistakes. They have left a trail. Their guilt can be proven. If their strenuous efforts to suppress the truth do not succeed, the American public will be able to see them for what they are, suave, manicured traitors who have wounded our beloved country more grievously than Benedict Arnold ever thought of doing. Here now is what has been happening. You will probably recall the visit which congressmen and newsmen made to Fort Knox on September 23, 1974, to look at America's gold stored there. This so-called gold inspection visit, which was unprecedented, was arranged by our government purely as a publicity gimmick to try to defuse my charges that the gold had been illegally removed by private interests. Only one of the 28 compartments was opened to display gold to the visitors, and that compartment was selected ahead of time by government officials. The compartment that the visitors entered into was indeed stacked from floor to ceiling with some 36,000 metal bars. But they had a noticeably reddish hue instead of the golden yellow for which gold is renowned. The reason for this odd color, my friends, is that what the visitors saw was not pure gold, that is, 0.995 fine or better, as required for use in international monetary settlements. It was instead melted down coin gold containing 10% copper, something known in monetary circles as junk gold. Of course, such highly impure gold does have some value in a market sense, but not as backing for currency, since no nation on earth would accept it for that purpose. Thus, for monetary purposes, and that was what the Fort Knox visit was all about, the visitors saw nothing that could be counted as part of America's alleged monetary gold hoard. A number of the visitors noticed a very apparent reddish tint to the bars, but not being gold experts, no one thought to ask about it during the news conference held afterward by Mrs. Barry Brooks, the director of the United States Mint. Thus, the visitors' day at Fort Knox ended in a light-hearted carnival atmosphere, just as it had begun when the visitors chose popsicle sticks to determine their order in viewing the open compartment. Mrs. Brooks happily said, "See, it's all here," and then sent the congressmen and newsmen off on their happy way like a bunch of Cub Scouts leaving a den meeting. As for you and I at home, the dynasty's controlled major news media served up a nice pablum to swallow, a few words to the effect that Fort Knox had been visited, a few pretty but not too revealing pictures, and the comforting pronouncement of Mary Brooks that it's all here. For further reassurance, we were also informed that the gold inspection visit would be followed up by an independent audit of the Fort Knox gold by the General Accounting Office and arm of Congress. The Fort Knox gold inspection hoax largely succeeded in hoodwinking most Americans into believing all was well at Fort Knox. But not so Europe and Canada. When the foreign reporters among the delegation to Fort Knox filed their reports, their observation of the reddish appearance of the gold led very quickly to a correct evaluation of the hoax that had been perpetrated among the American people. Financial eyebrows the world over were raised in amazement. The United States government, putting its best foot forward, had failed to display any good delivery gold. The only logical conclusion was that there was none available to show, exactly as I had charged. So transparent and blatant was the Fort Knox gold inspection hoax that for a time last fall it was a favorite topic of political cartoons and jokes in Europe. Those words of Mary Brooks, "It's all here," have been used widely by humorists in the foreign press, which largely lies beyond the reach of the dynasty. As a catchphrase for the worldwide laughing stock, the United States Treasury has become. It's a sad commentary that here in America, the dynasty's stranglehold on our mass media is so complete that a phrase which is ridiculed everywhere else, "It's all here," is seriously accepted as gospel truth by many Americans. But we think it couldn't happen here. Within a month, on October 21, 1974, the General Accounting Office quickly submitted a report on its audit to the Treasury Department. There was not a word of official comment, however, until December 3, 1974. On that date, during congressional testimony, Treasury Secretary William Simon casually dropped what should have been a bombshell by agreeing that the gold in Fort Knox is inferior to other United States gold. That is an admission that there is no good delivery gold in Fort Knox, and as such, flatly contradicts an official Treasury document dated August 31, 1974, which shows 24 million ounces of good delivery gold in Fort Knox. And to make matters worse, even the document of August 31 conflicts with previous official documents showing 147 million ounces of monetary gold in Fort Knox, more than six times as much. But our major media, doing the dynasty's bidding, virtually ignored Secretary Simon's astonishing testimony concerning the poor quality of the gold in Fort Knox. What the media did choose to report, giving the public exactly the opposite impression about what was going on, was Secretary Simon's announcement during the same testimony that on January 6, 1975, the Treasury would auction off 2 million ounces of gold. Then on December 9, 1974, quietly and unnoticed by the general public, the Treasury unlawfully bought 2 million ounces of gold from the tiny exchange stabilization fund, so as to have something to sell on January 6, 1975, in their effort to discredit my charges that America is gold poor. By interesting coincidence, the Treasury's purchase completely emptied the exchange stabilization fund. On December 11, 1974, Mr. Thomas Wolfe, Director of the Office of Domestic Gold and Silver Operations of the United States Treasury, confirmed that the General Accounting Office audit of the Fort Knox gold had been completed as of some undefined earlier date. And yet, the news conference to release the audit, which the Director of the United States Mint had earlier promised for December 23, 1974, failed to materialize. Instead, as that date approached, the release date for the audit was suddenly delayed to January 31, 1975, without explanation. Meanwhile, I was informed through my confidential sources that the Treasury and the General Accounting Office were trying to collaborate on what to say in an audit report that would not be too dangerous to release to the American people. The audit itself, according to my sources, reveals that there is nothing left in Fort Knox except some 90,000 bars of junk gold, unfit for international monetary settlements. If this is what the audit shows, it is in complete agreement with my charges. On January 6, 1975, the celebrated auction, so-called, of United States gold was carried out. The auction had only one purpose, to fool the American people into thinking we still had gold, while in reality squeezing out one last little bit of bullion from our country. But mounting public enthusiasm over gold, combined with lingering suspicions about Fort Knox, had created a potentially dangerous situation for the dynasty, which they had to nip in the bud. They dared not allow demand on January 6th to exceed the 2 million ounces, which were put up for sale, since the Treasury then would have been expected to arrange promptly for a second auction, something they could hardly do, since there are few ounces of good delivery gold left in America. America is gold poor. The solution to the dynasty's problem was to precede the gold sale with a four-week blitz of anti-gold propaganda through their major news media outlets. Suddenly, the country was overrun with writers and newsmen who had become instant authorities on gold. Americans were flooded with warnings about the great gold sale fiasco, which would be expected on January 6th. Even the United States Treasury itself warned potential United States gold dealers to stay away. Thus warned, America's gradually cooled off about gold and finally stayed away in droves on January 6th. Only 750,000 ounces were sold in Washington. And guess who bought it? You're right. 500,000 ounces went to dynasty interests, while 250,000 ounces went to a foreign group that cooperates with the dynasty. Before the auction, most of the rest of the gold had been dumped on the London market, depressing gold prices there. After the sale, Treasury Secretary Simon congratulated the bamboozled American people for their wisdom in staying out of the gold auction. Only 2 days later, those foolish few who did buy gold at the auction, namely the dynasty and their collaborators, were rewarded by seeing the value of their bullion jump by more than $10 an ounce, the biggest gain in history for a single day of gold trading. Thus, the gold auction of January 6th served the interests of the dynasty perfectly, and as usual, at the expense of the trusting American public. But the problem of the Fort Knox gold audit still remained. The new release date of January 31 came and went. The audit was not released, and once again, no explanation was given. As I say these words, most Americans still don't realize what is going on. The dynasty's controlled major news media have blacklisted and boycotted the story of the Fort Knox gold scandal, and it will require great courage for any news media, even the handful not yet directly controlled by the dynasty, to break the story. But the Fort Knox scandal cover-up is beginning to come unstuck. The story has now been broken in Europe by Mr. Gordon Tether, perhaps the world's most influential financial writer, in the Financial Times of London for February 11, 1975. Mr. Tether's words speak for themselves. Quote, "Close observers of the Fort Knox mystery assure me that this, so far unexplained, official procrastination, read in conjunction with other circumstantial evidence, strongly suggests that it is no longer a question of whether there is a discrepancy between the figures and the physical reality, but what the size of the gap is. It is hardly necessary to point out that, if it does become apparent that the Treasury has itself been the seat of a scandal of Watergate-type proportions, the consequences for America in general, and her dollar in particular, could be very serious. The puzzling thing is why the administration is not hastening to demonstrate that there is no cause for concern if it is in a position to do so." Unquote. Within hours, the Tether article flushed out an odd two-page document consisting of a report on the audit, which was quietly delivered to interested parties in Congress. Its purpose was apparently to blunt the effect of the devastating article by Mr. Tether, but as such conveys a note of desperation. It is cleverly written to give the appearance of substance, but careful reading reveals that nowhere does it give the results of the audit? A few days later, responding to steadily mounting pressure, director of the Met, Mrs. Mary Brooks, admitted in writing for the first time that America's gold supply consists mostly of melted coin gold, that is, junk gold. As of March 1, 1975, the date of this message, the General Accounting Office audit of the Fort Knox gold still has not been released, even though it was completed over 4 months ago, on October 21, 1974. No explanation for the delay has been given, but my confidential sources inform me that high-level pressure from the dynasty to massage the audit is taking quite a toll. As of this moment, I am informed that one of the General Accounting Office's auditors has resigned in protest and that two others have refused to sign the audit. Furthermore, the resignation of at least one of the high officials ensnared in this sad drama has now been tendered, though it has not yet been accepted. As events are now progressing, the Fort Knox gold theft will in all probability be a major national scandal this year, 1975. It will implicate not only public officials, but influential people in the private sector as well. The infamous Teapot Dome scandal of the early 1920s was used by the dynasty to crush their rival in crude oil, Harry F. Sinclair. More recently, the dynasty engineered a major scandal called Watergate to crush President Nixon for their own political advancement in power. The Fort Knox gold scandal, in which the dynasty is now involved, will also crush its victims. But this time, there is a difference. This time, the scandal did not erupt at their instigation. The gold theft was supposed to proceed quietly, do its immense damage, and never be detected. But they have made mistakes, important mistakes, because they can be traced. And this time, it is the dynasty itself that may well be crushed by their own greedy misdeeds. If they can, if we allow them to, the dynasty will yet find a way to sidestep the crushing response to their actions and let those who have merely followed their orders be smashed in their place. We therefore dare not be complacent. If we permit them to escape the justice they so richly deserve, it is we, the American people, whom the dynasty will crush next by means of the political and economic chaos they are deliberately bringing upon us all.